Good morning. This is Dr. Badia with another biweekly episode of the podcast Fixing Healthcare from the Trenches. There was a very, almost polarizing event that occurred recently. I don't even need to tell you what it was, but it has certainly grabbed the country in terms of the problems that I've been talking about with this podcast for several years, the book I wrote 4 years ago. And finally, the public is mobilized after what is really an unfortunate event, a tragedy, if you may. But, there are people who don't feel that way. And in social media, I have tried to gauge what the public's perception about this is. And obviously, there's sympathy for, someone who was killed, their family, co-workers. But the reality is people has galvanized people. And I have the distinct pleasure of inviting one of those people who has had a podcast for some time that she'll tell you about. Ms. April Calloway has been in the dental industry doing mostly a billing and insurance work. So she has incredible stories on the dental side, which is actually much less common than the medical, right? Many dentists don't take insurance. And I think us physicians know why, and now the public is understanding why. So she's been in that for 25 years, and I would like to welcome her to the show and tell us how she got into all of this.
Thank you, Dr. Badia, for having me. I really appreciate you having me on your show today.
It's a real pleasure. You started your podcast, your TikTok page, right? How long ago, and how has that grown?
It's been 3 to 4 years, and I just started for fun. It was slow growth. But with this particular happening, the unfortunate incident, it has grown exponentially, which I did not anticipate. So it's been a bit of a shock to me in the past week.
Interesting. So before you would talk about healthcare issues and challenges before all of this, and yes. What was the engagement like?
I had one main video that was, oddly, it was a menopausal rant. I am a middle-aged woman.
Yeah.
And I just had my last wit's end one day, and I just went on this rant, and I got over 300,000 views on that. And a lot of women, can really resonate with it. So I started to go more into the healthcare realm and the problems that women in general have with reaching the
accessing right
accessing the medicine that they need, the care that they need. It's very difficult for women of our age to find care for that particular problem. It's not very well researched. The research that has been done is not correct, and that's pretty much where I started with all of that. And I have also gone into more of the health insurance side of things and how things work. I just kind of did it all as a mishmash.
And how long ago was that you were addressing women's healthcare issues, challenges, and then you realize it's a symptom of a broader healthcare delivery problem? When did you morph into that? How long ago?
I've realized for a long time that it's been a symptom of other problems, but I would say on my TikTok, it was probably about 3 years ago.
Oh, okay. That long ago.
Yes. Okay. That's when I'm personally experiencing one side of being a patient and the other side of being someone that understands how insurance works or doesn't work. And you kind of put the two and two together and you start to get more and more frustrated by the system.
So what happened in terms of your viewers, the engagement, give us some numbers once this event occurred that all of a sudden just became viral all over. Tell us what the change was. This was only, 2 weeks ago, I would say, right?
About
2 weeks ago today.
About 2 weeks ago, So I had already had videos up about United Healthcare before and other healthcare systems and the problems that came along with those systems. And when this unfortunate event happened, I already had a lot of that information because we went through the Change Healthcare. Even on our end. And thankfully, I was prepared and knew how to kind of work around things. It's easier in dental than it is in medical. Mm-hmm. And but it was very difficult. And so I already had a lot of that information because I enjoy researching boring things. And insurance is inherently boring. So I had started to research, you listen to people, you hear what people have to say, and you start to put two and two together, and you realize that this was probably in the works of coming just because of the climate we're in right now.
The anger out there. And so what did you say approximately number of followers you had, say, before this incident and after, and in terms of how many comments you got? Because I think that's what's been different, is the amount of comments that people chime in. So tell us, you know, roughly numbers.
I know I have gained over 12,000 followers. Wow. After that video.
Okay.
I have 1.9 million views as of right now on the video.
Wow.
And as far as comments, I didn't check that right off, but I do know that I have hundreds of thousands of comments.
And they're all pretty consistent. What I've noticed is, I had one viral video it's still at about 1.9 million. And I found out about it through my son. My son says, "Hey, Dad, you're on my feed." And it was a day where I couldn't, my staff was on the phone, as you know what this is like, trying to get approval for somebody was missing half their fingertip, which is what I just did on somebody. And that person literally just paid. When I go to my dentist, I told you that prior, I just pay. And that's unfortunately what's going to happen with our system, because people are spending a lot on insurance, but they're not able to get it. So that day it was a work-related injury, workers' comp. And it was a very spontaneous, I just ripped off my gown and I said, "This shouldn't happen." And that's my only TikTok and Instagram video that literally went viral at about almost 2 million views. So, and that was well before this event. So what do you think that the engagement you've gotten, you think that this momentum is going to continue and the public's going to insist on some change?
I would love to be able to tell you yes. Unfortunately, knowing the American public, our attention span is very short. Our memories are very short.
We agree on that. Yeah,
unfortunately. It's already starting to dwindle now. You don't hear as much about it. As soon as Saturday Night Live did a skit about it and made fun of it, I knew that it was just about over.
Wow.
So,
there are things we can do. So I think we need to keep some pressure on, get people talking about this. And, you know, we have a new administration coming in, and I'm hoping I'm going to try to engage in some way in Washington. I mean, I've had a senator, Bill Cassidy, Dr. Bill Cassidy in Louisiana, mm-hmm. was on my podcast. Dr. Greg Murphy, the only practicing surgeon in the U.S. Congress from North Carolina, I think District 2. He's been on the podcast. So, you know, I reached out to him. I said, "Look, let's try to speak common sense with the new administration about regulation." So what would you say, now that they're coming in, what would you say are your sort of top three initiatives that you think could really fix healthcare?
Just quickly, my first one would be there are no advantages to advantage plans, and they need to be done away with. Second is insurance is not the only issue. We also have conglomerates, big hospitals buying up our practitioners. That causes a lot of issues within the healthcare industry as well. And then the third, which I think is the most important, would be reform, and that is governmental reform.
Governmental reform, yeah. A lot of people close to me really kind of blame the government, and I guess maybe it's true. I mean, private enterprise, you know, they're going to try to get what they can, but there is a reason for government regulations and oversight. So on the first one, Medicare Advantage, interesting because we're hearing so much more about that, and it's really kind of disappointing that Dr. Oz, who's a cardiothoracic surgeon from Columbia in New York, I trained at NYU, so Columbia, the little C of the Ivy League. I won't tell you where I did my undergraduate work, but Columbia. He was very renowned. Had some interesting ideas. I think most of us know from his show, which I honestly can't say I've ever really watched it. But I'm very disappointed that a colleague thinks that Medicare Advantage is a good thing. I can tell you in Miami that some of the richest people in this city have made tens of millions by selling patients like cattle to between different Advantage plans. And last week's guest, 2 weeks ago, was the day that the shooting occurred, is Scott Becker, is a healthcare attorney who for 30 years has run a series, not one, but a series of yearly conferences addressing the business of healthcare. And that was, I think that was his second initiative. He said, we got to get rid of this Medicare Advantage, especially as the population ages. So you agree with that? Any further thoughts on that?
I 100% agree with that. I don't understand how anybody that can think logically would agree that Medicaid Advantage has helped anyone. Our seniors are suffering due to it. Just in 2025, $500 to $600 billion from the Medicaid and Medicare system, the CMS, is going to pay these private health plans for Medicare Advantage. And that's $16 billion more than they spent last year. So there is no savings as far as our government goes in these plans.
No savings and more difficult care
Our patients are being denied care. You know how health insurance companies work. They want to deny. And I feel like when you started to put private, and I'm all for private, systems. I believe in capitalism as well, but there has to be some sort of regulation involved. And as soon as you put private insurance into the Medicare and Medicaid world, it was going to cause this problem because it's inherently greed that runs private insurance companies. Because most of them, while they started out not for profit, which is different than nonprofit, they are now mostly, except for I think Kaiser and a couple others, are mostly for profit. And when you put private or profit before your healthcare for your patients, no one is going to benefit from that except the corporation, except the insurance company. Okay. And I'm disgusted that our government doesn't realize that.
Well, that's why we're here, right, Ms. Calloway? That's why we're here, to bring attention. And the viewers, hopefully, that's the problem, is the viewers really don't, I always think we should do something cute on this podcast that maybe people, I don't know, put some puppies or kittens or something that people share, because people don't share these things. And but
if
they haven't shared
a cat, they would listen to me.
Right. But Ms. Calloway, they've been sharing your videos. So I applaud you. They've been sharing yours. I know I've shared them. Yes. And that's why I really asked you to be on this. So let me bring home what you just said about Medicare Advantage. It is an additional barrier. When you have additional steps, which cost money, right? Because the people who sit there and authorize, approve, they have a salary and benefits, right? So that costs the insurance company money to pay these people, but they're not adding anything. When I did the rotator cuff repair of my own aunt, I remember she was with one of these Medicare Advantage plans, and they would authorize 4 therapy sessions. So I said, well, everyone knows after shoulder surgery, it's one of the areas where you really need a bit more therapy than others. And then what happens is you have to wait a week to get the new authorization number. So now the insurance company, saved money, but it doesn't matter in the end. She's still going to need the therapy she needs. So they're not really saving much money. What they're doing is delaying. And the delay in and of itself is causing major issues. And I have my own videos coming out talking about delay, because you hear horror stories, right? You're like me, Ms. Calloway. Your office doesn't deal with life and death. I'm a hand surgeon. It's not life and death, but there are significant problems when care is delayed, whether you develop an abscess or, in my case, when you lose function in your hand, which has a societal downstream effect of not being able to be a productive citizen. So in my field, it's not life and death, thank God, but these delays cause a lot of problems. So I'm going to launch into my three initiatives, and I want your feedback. Mine are, one is that we need, and you alluded to this, we need oversight, not authorization. There's a difference. So if an insurance company says, you know what, we're going to look at, you know, Dr. X and make sure that they're not doing a shoulder arthroscopy on every patient who walks in the door, we need oversight. There's no question, right? There are bad apples, there's overutilizers, but authorizing everything from imaging to the surgery to rehabilitation to procedures in dental, that you got to let the people who have the expertise make the decisions, right? Because that saves money, right? And time. Second one is you need the right specialist at the right time. I think this whole concept that the HMOs forced us to overload our poor primary care doctors who are trying to keep us healthy, trying to monitor overall health, they don't need to see, you know, somebody with severe dental pain to say, oh, you need a dentist, or shoulder pain and say, oh, you need somebody like Dr. Badia. That's an absurd concept and it's outdated. And the last one is what you have done, Ms. Calloway, is public education. That is something we need more of. And I hope that it doesn't wane, as you said. I know you have the same concerns I do. So what do you think that we can do to kind of keep the pressure on?
That's a good question. I would hope that I tend to think of myself as, I think I'm funny. But my kids don't, but I think I'm funny. And I'm hoping that maybe if I can ingrain some sort of humor into, you know, healthcare, that maybe it'll get through a little easier to people. You're just throwing numbers at people. It does make them mad when they see it, if they're going to see it.
People respond though to stories, real life,
they right? Do.
And I think that's what your video and many others really inspired in people, is to tell their story. And when you hear the story, yes, it's more powerful than statistics, which are bad enough, correct?
Right. The stories that I would read would bring tears to your eyes.
Yeah,
the stories on my post, and I read every comment that I received.
Wow.
And wow, just the heartache that I felt from listening to that. And I tend to be, anger is what motivates me more than probably anything. And so that tended to make me very angry when I would read that, and it just spurred me on. And I have continued to do other posts on insurance. They're not doing as well. I don't have a deceased CEO behind it. So, you know, I can't, it's hard to engage with people. They think insurance is boring, but what people don't understand is how important insurance is to them in their lives. When you have to have an entire, and I'm sorry if I'm long-winded, I tend to be.
Oh, that's fine.
My husband works for a national company. And when it's time, you know, November comes around, I have to look through his policies to see which one we want to pick for the year.
Right.
And they have a Zoom for the national company for everyone on board to explain how each policy would work. It's not supposed to be that difficult. Why should it be that difficult? I get phone calls every day from my patients in dentistry, especially most of ours are retirees and where we live. And it's always the same question. What do I pick? What do I pick? What do I pick? And it gets so disheartening when people can't just easily pull and pick from what they need and what they don't need.
Yeah. It's, but look, at least, people such as yourselves have inspired this dialogue. I think it's akin to, you know, what a few bad cops, did that galvanized the whole movement, and race relations in this country, which certainly, you know, I travel a lot and I realize that, you know, we needed that and we still need it to some degree, but there's no question it's something that affects everyone. And it affects our economy. It's 20% of our economy is healthcare, twice as expensive as the next country on the list. So,
right. Yeah. And we're sicker.
And we're sicker. Yeah. It's like that. Yeah. So, well, let's keep the pressure on. We're going to, you know, get you a little very short clip of this. As you said, you know, a lot of people don't listen to this or comment on the podcast because it's, you know, usually about 20 minutes, which is, I wish I had Joe Rogan's following. My son will listen to him for 2 hours. I'm thinking, how is that possible? But, you know, it's hard to understand what inspires the public, but certainly this sort of tragedy got people to come out under their shell and comment on videos such as yours. And we're going to get you a very short synopsis of this so that you can put it on your TikTok and get people to keep the pressure on. And let's keep working together, Ms. Calloway.
Can I state one more thing if you have time?
For sure.
I did receive a comment from a 21-year-old young lady, which is not normal for my demographic.
Right.
And I was very happy to see the someone of that age actually asking questions about their insurance and how it works. And I think a big problem is these social media. I'm on every social media platform now. I'm not a member, but it's been shared to every single social media platform out there, from X to YouTube. It's everywhere. And the younger generation is not looking at this, and that starts in school. So that's the education portion. So when they're in high school, they need to have classes. When I was in school, we had like life skills classes. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So you knew how to live life, and insurance is a big part of it. So I feel like if we can get started in that arena, in the educational portion, get younger people on the social media that want to learn and start pushing it out themselves as well. It can't just be us middle-aged people that are doing it.
That's a great point. You're the first person to raise it. So I'm going to ask both of my teenagers tonight what they think that we can do. But as I said, my son is the one who told me about my own rant that was very spontaneous and really went viral. So that is a great point. So let's keep that in mind. We will stay in touch. And thank you, Ms. Calloway, for taking the time to do this. And thank you to public who's listening. And as I say, you know, every other week, please try to share this comment. Let's engage and let's see if we can get the opportunity now, come mid-January, as we have a new administration. Let's try to bring some common sense to healthcare delivery.
I agree.
See all of you in 2 weeks, fixing healthcare from the trenches. Thanks for your time. Good morning.
Thank you.